B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Eruvin Daf Pei, and we're going to start from the middle of Daf Ayin Tes Omid Beis at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Ketzad Mishtatfin B'movui. We know that there are various types of Eruvs. There's Eruvei Chatzeris, there's Eruvei Tchumin, and there's what we call Shitufei Muvois, which means that all the Chatzeris sharing a single Movui, in order to be able to carry in the Movui, one has to do a shitufei muvois, that in one of the chatzeris there has to be some food that represents all the people in all the chatzeris. Says the Mishnah, Ketzad meshatfin b'movoi. How does one actually make this shitufei muvois? What does one do? Says the Mishnah, Maniach es hachovis, a person, any one of the people who are sharing this movoi, can take a barrel. It can be a barrel of anything, of fruits, of wine. It does not have to be bread, and it can belong to anyone, and it can even belong to himself. He doesn't have to take it from all the people. He can take his own barrel, and he can say, Harei ze l'chol b'nei movui. I am being mezakeh this, that means I am allowing, I am transferring the ownership of this barrel to all the people who are sharing this movui. Umezakeh lohen. How is he going to transfer ownership to them? It belongs to him. What can he do that the ownership should leave his own exclusive ownership and become theirs? So what we know, this is the halachas of zechiyah, which we're not going to learn about at length here. But what zechiyah means is that somebody else, not the owner himself, somebody else actually does an act of acquiring, does a kinyan, and he does it on behalf of those people that are supposed to become the owners of this, of whichever item that we're trying to do the kinyan with. But the condition is that in order to do a zechiyah, the item has to leave the rishus of the original owners. It cannot stay in his rishus, both in terms of space and place. If it's in his home and it stays on the floor in his home, and you don't lift it off where it was, then you cannot do a zechiyah. And also the person who is doing the kinyan on behalf of all the people who are going to receive ownership cannot be somebody who is considered as just an extension of the original owner. So the Mishnah says he can do the zechiyah al yedei bnoi ubitoi hagdolim. He can even use one of his own children, providing that they are adults, son or daughter. Or if he's got a Jewish servant or maid, they can also do such a kinyan. And the Mefarshim discuss how can you have a maid, which a Jewish maid, which is not a ktano. And this is a discussion in the Mefarshim, because we know that a Jewish maid, as soon as she becomes a gedola, she actually is no longer a maid, she goes to freedom. But either way, that's what the Mishnah says. And even his wife can do the kinyan on behalf of those people. Aval eino mizakeh, he cannot transfer the ownership. He cannot, that means the people cannot do a kinyan on behalf of those recipients, of all the other neighbors and those who are sharing this movui. Lo yalidei b'noi ha'ubite ha'ktanim. His young children that are minors, below bar and bas mitzvah, a girl under the age of 12, a boy under the age of 13. V'lo yalidei avdoi v'shivchose ha'knanim. Nor can he use his slave or his maid who are knanim, that are non-Jewish slave and non-Jewish maid. Mipnei she'yodon k'yodoi. Their hands, the hands which we want to actually do the acquiration, to do the kinyan on behalf of those people who are supposed to be becoming the new owners of this barrel, they are an extension of his own hand, and therefore it's not considered a zechiyah. Says the Gemara, Omer of Yehuda, Chovius shel shitufei muvois. This barrel that's going to be used and that's going to belong to all the partners, all the neighbors in this mavui. As we said before, in order to do a zechiyah, it has to leave the rishus, the entity of the original owner. And when it leaves that rishus and it enters a new entity, then whoever's doing this entity, this kinyan, whoever's acquiring it, is actually going to do it on behalf of the people who are supposed to be kind of it, and that's how it works. But it's only considered that it's left the original entity or the rishus of the original owner is if you lift it off the ground at least to tefach. Omar Rava, Hani Taratamili, the following two things, the following two statements, Sabi de Pumbudisa the Omrinhu. They were said by the elders of Pumbudisa, and Rashi says this refers to Rav Yehuda and the other Chachomim there. Choda ha, one of them is what we just saw now in the name of Rav Yehuda, that in order to do a zechiah on the barrel, you have to lift it off the ground at Tefach. Idoch, the second statement was that Hamakadish, if somebody makes Kiddush on Friday night or on Yom Tov night with a cup of wine, im to'am emeloi lugmov, if he actually tastes a mouthful of the wine, yotzo, he was yotze Kiddush. Ve'im lav lo yotzo, if he does not drink at least a mouthful of the wine, he has not been yotze Kiddush. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Chaviva, the following statement was also said by the elders of Pumbudisa. The Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that Oisin Medura Lechaya. Chaya is a Yoiledes, is a woman that's just given birth. And if necessary, one is allowed to ignite a fire. A Medura is a large fire, a bonfire, B'Shabbos, even on Shabbos, because it's something that she needs for her to recover. Savor Mina. They thought that what Shmuel meant was lechayoin lechay leloi. This is only permitted for a woman after birth, but any other ill person, one would not be allowed to light a fire. B'yemois hageshomim in b'yemois hacham aloi. They also assumed that it's only true in the winter, in the cold months, in the cold times, where this woman after birth needs a fire, you can ignite it even on Shabbos. But in the summer months, then one would not be allowed to do this. Itma, Omer of Chibar Ovin Omer Shmuel. However, they heard, it was taught in the name of Shmuel that Hikis Dam, even somebody who just let blood, he wasn't somebody after birth, this was a person who had an expert remove some blood, which was a medical procedure practiced back in the days. Venit Tanin, and he felt cold post this procedure. Oisin Le Madura, one's allowed to light a fire b'Shabbos, even on Shabbos. Vafilu B'Tkufas Tamuz, even in the height of the summer, it is permitted. Continues the Gemara. Omar Ameima. Ha nami sabadu Pumbudisa Omrinu. The following is also a quote from the elders of Pumbudisa. De itma, we learnt. Eizu hi ashera stam. Ashera is a tree that was used for Avodah Zarah. So if you saw that they actually served it as an idol, then obviously it has all the halachas of Avodah Zarah. But what type of tree can we assume, can we take for granted that it was used as an idol, even though you didn't actually witness such a practice? Ezu yashero stam, omarav kol shekoimrim shemrim roisei. In the old versions of the Gemara from the Tzenzer, they actually changed it not to the koimrim, but to the meshamshim, but it means those trees that the priests would protect them. Ve'ein te'amin mipeiroseh, and they would not eat from the fruits of this tree. Then, according to Rav, such a type of tree you can assume was used for Avodah Zarah. If it would not have been used for Avodah Zarah, then they wouldn't have an issue with eating the fruits. Ushmuel Omar, Shmuel said, Kegoin de Omri, if people say, Hana Tamri, these dates, Leshikra are going to be used for the wine, Debei Netzarfi, that would be used when for the Avodah Zarah called Tzarfi. Deshasu Le B'yem Edom, and they used to drink this wine on their holidays. And if somebody says that these dates, that's what they were used for, then we can assume that the Shikra is the beer made of these dates. Then if it's drunk on their holidays, then we assume that this tree was actually used as Avodah Zarah. Va'omri li, Sabbath de Pumbudisa, Omar Ameima said that the elders of Pumbudisa, they maintained that Hilchasa Kavasei de Shmuel, Aloch is like Shmuel, that any tree, or a tree where the people would say that the dates of this tree are going to be used for this beverage that's going to be drunk for this Avodah Zarah on their holidays, then we can assume that that tree has been served and used as an Avodah Zarah. Continues the Gemara, and now we're going back to what Rav Yehuda said at the beginning of the Sugya, that in order to do Zechiah for the Shitufei Mavois, then whoever is going to be koina the barrel on behalf of all the other people in the Mavoi has to lift it up at least a Tefach off the ground. Meisvei, This seems to contradict the Braisa. Keitzad mashtatfim b'movi? How does one make a shitufei mavois? How does one join, merge all the people sharing a movi? Mevim chovis shel yain. They would bring a barrel of wine, shel shemen, of oil, shel tamorim, of dates, shel gregrus, of figs, dried figs, v'shel sharmine peiros, or any other types of fruits. Im misheloi, if these fruits, if this barrel with its contents belonged to this one particular person, tzorich lezakis, you have to do zechia, because the shitufei mavois only works if the barrel represents all the neighbors. So if all the neighbors actually came and brought some food, then that's fine. But they didn't. You're taking one of a barrel, your own barrel, and you want it to belong, so to speak, to represent everybody. So what you have to do is, as we saw before, you have to do zechia. Somebody has to actually acquire it by doing a valid kinyan, for example, lifting it up, doing a valid kinyan on behalf of all those neighbors. V'im mishelohen, if, however, the fruits in this barrel, or the wine, or the oil, or whatever it is actually belongs to the people, the neighbors who are sharing this mavui, then tzorich lohidia. Then, since you're using their own fruits, if they're using your fruits, you can do zechia. And we know there's a rule, zochin la'odom shalei b'fonov, as long as I'm not taking a risk of harming him, then I can get somebody to acquire something on behalf of somebody else. It's kulei revach, it's just benefit, and therefore you can do it even without telling them. It belongs to them, it becomes theirs. However, if there's a risk that they're not going to approve, then there's a problem. So if you're using your own wine or oil and you want them to acquire it, you're going to get somebody to be coin it on their behalf, that's fine. Then you don't need to tell them about it. You don't need to ask for their consent. But if you actually have access to their fruits, to their wine, to their oil, and you're taking their oil or any other fruit item and using it for shitufei mavois, you have to get their consent. And we've already seen previously in the Gemara that if somebody is not happy with for his own food to be used for the shitufei mavois, which means that he would have reservations against letting anyone in the movi actually eat from his contribution, then the shitufei mavois is not valid. Therefore, tzorich lehodia, you have to let him know, I've used your food items for the movi, do we have your consent? And umagbia minakar komashu, if in the event that the contents of this barrel belong to this one person, how are you going to make everybody become the owners of it? How is it going to represent everyone? Umagbia minakarka, you have to lift it off the ground, mashahu, just a slight amount. So you see in this braisa clearly that the amount you have to lift it off, you have to lift up this barrel on behalf of all the other neighbors, is just a mashu, it's just a little bit. You don't need a tefach. Rav Yehuda said you need a tefach. Answers the Gemara, my mashu nami de komar tefach. When the Braisa says mashu, just a little bit, it means a tefach. A tefach is also just a little bit. Continues the Gemara, itmar shitufei mavois. In the case where you're trying to make a shitufei mavois, which is you've got this barrel of food and you want it to represent all the people in the mavui. Rav Omar ein tzorich lezakis. Rav says you do not need to do a zechia. Shmuel Omar tzorich lezakis. Shmuel argued with Rav and said you do have to do a zechia. And Rashi and Tosfos, Rashi later on in the sugya, and Tosfos here explains that in the case of shitufei mavois, in the absence of a valid eruv, a valid shitufei mavois, none of the neighbors can carry in the mavui, and therefore we take it for granted that the owner of the barrel is absolutely certain that he wants to give the ownership to all the neighbors, and therefore, even without zechia, a commitment and a decision that from now on the ownership of this barrel should belong to everybody is sufficient. However, we'll soon see in the case of eruvei tchumin over there, since the person who's the owner of the food, who's trying to make an eruv tchumin on behalf of somebody else, over there, unless somebody does a zechia on behalf of the person who the eruv tchumin is supposed to be valid for, it would not be sufficient. So that's why, according to Rav, ein tzorich lezakis, you don't need to do zechia, because the owner himself is absolutely clear that he wants to and is prepared to give the ownership to all the neighbors. Shmuel said, tzorich lezakis, And we saw that in our Mishnah that you need Zechia. We saw in our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Umezake lohen, you have to do Zechia. And Rav is arguing with our Mishnah, and we're soon going to see more about this in the Gemara. Eruvei Tchumin, in the case of Tchum, as we just mentioned, if Shimon wants to make an Eruv Tchumin 2,000 amis beyond the town, then Reuven can take his own barrel, his own food, and put it there on Shimon's behalf. But there one has to do Zechia, that the food should belong to Shimon. Rav Omar Tzorich Lezakis. Shmuel Omar Ein Tzorich Lezakis. Shmuel says, in the case of the Eruv Tchumin, you do not need the Zechia. So the Gemara says, Bishlei Mele Shmuel, according to Shmuel, we understand. Hocha Tnan. Over here, in the case of Shitufei Mevois, it's explicit in our Mishnah that you need Zechia. V'hocha, and in the case of the Eruvei Tchumin, we're going to see explicitly in a Mishnah on Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph that Loitnan, over there the Mishnah doesn't say you need Zechia. So Shmuel is conforming with the Mishnais. Elo l'Rav, according to Rav, Maitama. In our Mishnah it says that you need Shitufei Mevois, need Zechia. Rav says by Shitufei Mevois you do not need Zechia. And the Mishnah later does not mention Zechia by Eruvei Tchumin, and Rav says that you do need Eruvei Tchumin. You do need Zechia by Eruvei Tchumin. Says the Gemara, Tanoi. It's actually a Machlokes Tanoim, and the Machlokes Tanoim seems to be addressing just the aspect of Eruvei Tchumin. The Eruvei Tchumin in the next Mishnah, in the Mishnah Daf Pei Beis, seems to say that you do not need Zechia. Rav says you do need Zechia, so the Gemara says it's actually a Machlokes Tanoim. Domer of Yodomer Rav. Ma'ase bekalosoi shel Reb Oishia. The daughter-in-law of Reb Oishia. Shehol chol beis hamerchatz. She went to the bathhouse that was outside the Tchum. It was beyond the Tchum, out of the city. V'chosh cholo, and before she could come back into the Tchum, it became dark. It was Shabbos. She's now stuck outside the Tchum. V'irva lo chamoisa. But her mother-in-law, which was Reb Oishia's wife, actually intended or tried to make an Eruv Tchumin on her behalf. She realized that her daughter-in-law was not going to make it back in time. So she said, I'm going to put an Eruv 2,000 Amos outside the city. I'll put it there on behalf of my daughter-in-law, and that way she'll be able to come back into the city. And they asked Reb Chia whether such a type of an Eruv Tchumin is valid. V'osar, he said, it's not valid. Omale Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi. Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi said to Reb Chia, Bavloi, you Reb Chia, you originate from Bavel. Kol kachat o machmir b'Eruvin, you being so stringent with Eruvin, kach omar Abba. My father, said Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi, my father Reb Yosi would say, Kol sheyesh lecho lahokil b'Eruvin, hokil, you should try and be as lenient as possible when it comes to Eruvin. Why over here are you Reb Chia saying that the daughter in Reb Yosi cannot use the Eruv that his mother-in-law put down for her? V'boilu. And they asked, the question that was asked to Reb Chia was, Mishel chamoiso irvolo, umishum deloi zichsolo. Is the reason that Reb Chia said that the Eruv is not a valid Eruv, is it because the barrel, the food, whatever food was used for the Eruv Tchumin belonged to this mother-in-law and she did not do a zichia for the daughter-in-law? Oy Dilma, always the reason that Reb Chia said that the Eruv Tchumin was not valid, Mishelo Irvalo, that the food belonged to the daughter-in-law, Umishum Shelo Midaito, and the reason that it was not a good Eruv was not because he didn't do Zechia, you don't need to do Zechia, it belongs to her. But the reason was, you didn't ask her consent before. Omar Lo Enaham Haum Rabbonon, one of the Chachomim said, Rabbi Yaakov Shmei, his name was Rabbi Yaakov, Ledidi Mefar Shelo Minei De Rabbi Yechanon. I heard from Rabbi Yechanon the explanation to Rabbi Chia's stringent ruling. Mishel Chamoiso Irva, the food belonged to the mother-in-law. Umishum Deloi Zichsalo, and the reason that the Eruv was not valid is because she didn't do Zechia to the daughter-in-law. So you see clearly that Rabbi Chia held that you need Zechia even by Eruv Tchumin. And Rav also follows the same opinion, and that's why Rav said regarding Eruv Tchumin, you need Zechia, even though in the Mishnah on Daf Pei Beis it seems that you do not need Zechia by Tchumin. And Rashi and Tosfos here discuss that the question that the Gemara actually posed was that Rav was arguing with our Mishnah and was arguing with the Mishnah on Daf Pei Beis. And all we answered was that regarding Tchumin, the content of the Mishnah on Daf Pei Beis is there was a Machlekes Tanoim, but you haven't answered what's with Shitufei Mevois. Then our Mishnah it says that you need Zechia, and Rav says you do not need Zechia. So Rashi addresses that, and Rashi says that actually Rav is allowed to argue with the Mishnah, Rav Tana Upalig, and therefore it's not such an issue, and Tosfos discusses this more at length. Continues the Gemara, Omale Reb Zeira le Reb Yaakov, Berei de Bas Yaakov. Reb Zeira said to Reb Yaakov, who was the son of the daughter of Yaakov, and he wasn't attributed to his father, was it seems his father wasn't such a person that we wanted to quote by name in the Gemara. And he said, and Reb Zeira said to Reb Yaakov as follows, Kimotis Hosam, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, Akif, do me a favor, go out of your way, Vazil Lesulma de Tzur, and go to the rocky heights of a place called Tzur, Uboy Minei Reb Yaakov Ba'idi, and ask Reb Yaakov Ba'idi the following question. Bo'amine, ask him, Mishel Chamoiso Irva Umishum Deloy Zichsela, is the reason that the Eruv Tchumin in the above mentioned story with the daughter in law of Rabbi Shia, that Rabbi Chia said that it was invalid, was it because she didn't do Zichia, and the food belonged to the mother in law? Or Dilmo, maybe Mishelo Irva, that the food that was used belonged to the daughter in law, and there was no problem of Zichia. Umishum Deshaloy Midaita, the problem was that you didn't ask her permission first. Omar Lei Mishel Chamoiso Irva, Reb Yaakov Ba'idi said the same as we saw from before from Reb Yaakov Shmei in the name of Reb Yechanon, that it belonged to the mother-in-law, Umishum Deloy Zichsela, and the reason the Erev wasn't valid is because of that he didn't do Zichia. So you find here another opinion that says, like Rav said, that regarding Erev Tchumin, you need Zichia. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Nachman. Rav Nachman is saying, Noktinon, I have from tradition, or the halacha is, Echo de Ruvei Tchumin, Ve'echo de Ruvei Chatzeres, both a Ruvei Tchumin and a Ruvei Chatzeres, Echo Shitufe Mois and the Shitufe Mois, Tzorich Lezakis. Means Rav says, you only need Zechia by the Eruvei Tchumin, not by Shitufe Mois. Shmuel says, you only need Zechia by the Shitufe Mois and not by Eruvei Tchumin. And Rav Nachman is stringent according to both. He says, I'll be machmir, here like Rav, here like Shmuel, you always need Zechia. Boy Rav Nachman. But the one place that Rav Nachman had a question was with a fourth type of Eruv. Not Eruv Tchumin, not Eruv Echatzeris, not Shitufei Mevois. What's with Eruv Tavshilin? We know that if Shabbos is on Motzah Shabbos, if Shabbos is on Motzah Yontov, sorry, and you want to start cooking, or you want to continue cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos, then you have to have started cooking before Yom Tov, the Shabbos food, and then you can continue cooking the Shabbos food on Yom Tov. And the question is, if you want to do Eruv Tavshilin to serve somebody else, do you need Zechia or not? Tzorich Lezakis or in Tzorich Lezakis? Omer of Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, Mighty boy Elay. Means what was Rav Nachman's question regarding Eruv Tavshilin? Lo Yishmir Lei, Ha Da Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabbe Bar Ado Omer Shmuel. Was he aware that Shmuel explicitly said Eruv Tavshilin Tzorich Lezakis? That Shmuel held that you have to do Zechia by Eruv Tavshilin. Could it be that Rabbi Yosef was, that Rav Nachman was aware of what Shmuel said and nonetheless he had his question? Omele Abaye, Abaye responded, Pshita de Leish Shmuel. Of course he didn't. Of course Rav Nachman hadn't heard what Shmuel had said. The Shmuel had Rav Nachman heard what Shmuel said. My boyle, what was his question? Shmuel said explicitly that you need Zechia by Eruv Tavshilin. So Omar Lei, Rav Yosef says, I'll explain to you what I meant to ask. Otu Eruvei Tchumin, Miloi Omar Shmuel Ein Tzorich Lezakis. Did we not see before regarding Eruvei Tchumin that Shmuel said explicitly, we saw it towards the top of the Omud, Eruvei Tchumin, Shmuel Omar Ein Tzorich Lezakis. And nonetheless, what Omar Iyu and Rav Nachman said, and Rav Nachman was obviously aware that it was a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel said, you do not need Zechia, and nonetheless Rav Nachman said, Tzorich Lezakis, that you have to do Zechia. So Rav Nachman had no problem being more stringent than Shmuel, than arguing with Shmuel. If so, it could be that regarding Eruvei Tavshilin also, that Rav Nachman had heard what Shmuel said, that Shmuel said you need Zechia, and maybe he himself held you do not need Zechia. So Habaya answered back to Rav Yosef, Hachi Hashta. No. Bishleim Hasam, in the case of Eruvei Tchumin, and in the case of Shitufei Muvois, Pligi Rav Shmuel. In each of those cases, those machlekas Rav Shmuel, as we saw before. By Tchumin, by Shitufei Muvois, those machlekas, and by Tchumin, those machlekas. V'komash Malon, and Rav Nachman was coming to teach us, K'chumrin Demar, regarding Erev Tchumin, he took the stringent opinion of Rav, V'chichumrin Demar, and regarding Shitufei Muvois, he took the Chumra of Shmuel. But Aval Hoche, in the case of Erev Tavshilin, I Isya de Shmuel, had he heard what Shmuel said, mi ikka manda palik, there was nobody who argued with Shmuel, so Rav Nachman would not have argued with what Shmuel said. So therefore, if Rav Nachman asked whether Eruvei Tavshilin needs Zechiyah or not, he clearly did not hear that Shmuel had said that you do need Zechiyah. And we see here from the Gemara that in the event that Rav Nachman would have heard about Shmuel, he wouldn't have argued with Shmuel. And that's why the halacha is that even Eruv Tavshilin, one needs Zechiyah. Continues the Gemara. Hahu Turuzina. There was this non-Jewish guard who was guarding the weapons, Dehava b'Shivuvisa de Rav Zeira. He lived in the town, in the neighborhood of Rav Zeira. And as we've learned before, if you have a goy living in the neighborhood, then you cannot make an Eruv, unless you lease from him his property. So Omale, so the Israelim in the neighborhood said to this goy, Oigur lon roshusach, lease to us your property. Loi oigur lo, this goy didn't want to. He said no. Also lekameid Rav Zeira. They came to Rav Zeira. Omru lei, mahu lemegar midubisi. He doesn't want to lease to us his property. Can we go to his wife and lease the property from her? Omar luhu. So Rav Zeira said, Hocha omar Rish Lakish mishmeid de gavra rabba. Rish Lakish said, in the name of a great person, umanu Rav Chanina, and who is that? That was Rav Chanina. Ishtoi shel odom ma'areves shelay midaitoi. That regarding a regular Yisrael, when it comes to regular Eruv, then if the Yisrael is not there, his wife can join the Eruv, can contribute in the Eruv, even if his husband doesn't know, and even if her husband doesn't know. And so to hear that even though the goy did not want to lease his property, one can release the property from the goy's wife. A similar incident happened elsewhere. Ahu Turuzino, there was this non-Jewish person that was guarding the weapons, to have a b'shivuvisei de Rabbi Yehuda bar Oishia. He was in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yehuda bar Oishia. Omru lei, the Yisraelim said to this goy, Oigur lon roshusach, lease to us your property. Lo yogur lu, he didn't want to lease it to them. Also lekameid Rabbi Yehuda bar Oishia. They came to Rabbi Yehuda bar Oishia. Omru lei, mau lemegar midabisu, can we lease his property from his wife? Lo yehava biyode, he didn't know the answer. Also lekameid Rav Masna. They came to ask Rav Masna. Lo yehava biyode, he also didn't know what the answer was. Also lekameid Rav Yehuda. They came to Rav Yehuda. Omar luhu, hochi omar Shmuel. He said in the name of Shmuel, Ishtoi shel odom arebes sheloi midaitoi, that even if a person is not aware that he's joining the Eruv, his wife can join the Eruv, and that suffices for this person. And so too, regarding the goy, if he doesn't want to lease the property, then one can lease the property from his wife. Says the Gemara, Meisvei, we're going to ask a question from a Braisa. The Braisa says, Noshim she'irvu v'nishtatfu sheloi midas ba'alein, that if women join an Eruv, Chatzeres, or Shitufei Muvois, without their husbands knowing, ein eruvon eruv, the eruv is not valid. Ve'ein shitufon shituf, and the Shitufei Muvois is not valid. And this is clearly not like Shmuel said, and not like Rav Chanina said, that Ishtoi shel odom areves sheloi midaitoi. Says the Gemara lo ikashya. We can answer the question. Ha do osar. In the case when the absence of this person joining either the Eruv or the Shitufei Muvois, he's actually causing the other people, he's restricting the other people from being able to carry. In that case, one is allowed to lease from him even sheloi midaitoi, even without his knowledge. But ha do loi osar. But in the type of case where even if he doesn't join the Eruv, nonetheless, he's not restricting either the Chotzer or the Movi to the other neighbors, in that case, then even though there might be an advantage for him to join the Eruv, but since if he doesn't join the Eruv, he's not restricted the other neighbors, one is not allowed to join him on without his knowledge. And in what case would this be? If we're talking, for example, of a Chotzer, that is between two Muvois, or a home that's between two chatzeros, and the person is this guy always uses one side, either the right hand chotzer or the right hand mavui, and therefore he's not making an issa for the left hand chotzer or the left hand mavui, because the guy doesn't use it regularly. So in that case, that's called deloy osar, and even though they may want to join him in the Eruv in order to be able to carry from this guy's house into that chotzer, into the mavui, however, since if he doesn't join the Eruv, he's not restricting them because he doesn't usually use this chotzer or this mavui, in that case, he can only be counted into the Eruv if he does it knowingly. And this has nothing to do with the guy, he's talking about Yisrael even. As we said, in the case of Yisrael, when Ishtoi Shel Odom is ma'arevis shalei midaitoi, in the case where this particular person is restricting either the chotzer or the mavui, then one is allowed to join him in even without his knowledge. And if he doesn't restrict them, then he can only be joined in with his knowledge. And says the Gemara, Hochi nami mistabra, I can bring you a proof, and it's very probable that in the case where he doesn't restrict the other neighbors from using the property there, then in that case, you need his knowledge to join the Eruv. The Imkain, because if it would be true that you could always join him in, even without his knowledge, Kashi de Shmuel ad Shmuel, we would have a problem with another quote from Shmuel. The Omer Shmuel. Shmuel said, Echod b'bnei Mavui, if one of the people who are joining this Mavui, Sherogi lishtatif im b'nei Mavui, which he was very common, it was usual for him to join the Shitufei Mavois, v'loi nishtatif, and for whatever reason, could be out of spite, he did not want to join the Eruv of that particular week, and that would restrict all the other people, and the proof being that he's restricting the others by not joining the Shitufei Mavois is the fact that he was rogi lishtatif im b'nei Mavui. It was the fact that he commonly and would often join the Eruv. Why would he join the Eruv often? Obviously because without him joining the Eruv, without him joining the Shitufei Mavois, he's restricting all the rest. And this particular week he didn't join. B'nei Mavui nichnosin etoich beisoi v'noitlin shitufin mimenu bal korchi. Then the rest of the people in this mavi can go into his home and take the food that's going to represent him in the Shitufei Mavois, even without his knowledge. So you see clearly that Rogil, when can they go into his house and take his part in this Eruv, even without his knowledge? That's only when it's Rogil, a type of scenario where he commonly would join the Shitufei Mavois because without him joining, it would make an issa. Because he would restrict them, if he doesn't join, they can join him in without his permission. Shein Rogil, however, a type of person that doesn't usually join the Shitufei Mavois because he doesn't usually restrict them, because he usually uses the Mavui on the other side of his chotzo, or the chotzo on the other side of his home. Shein Rogil Loi, if in such a case where he's not restricting them, loy, in that case you cannot join him in without his permission. Shma mino, that's proof to the chiluk we said before, that Shmuel, who says that a person's wife can join him into the Eruv even without his knowledge, is only in a case where, in the absence of doing that, the other neighbors would be restricted. Leima maseile. Now the Gemara is suggesting maybe to have proof to Shmuel that in a case where, in the absence of the Eruv, one can join somebody into an Eruv even without his knowledge, because we saw that Koifin Oisei La'aseis Lechi V'Koire L'Movui. It says explicitly that if the people in the Movui, and as we've learned previously, that in order to be able to carry in a Movui, it's not good enough to just have Shitufei Mavois, you actually have to fix the Movui with a Koire or a Lechi, either a post 10 tefachim high or a beam going across the top of the entrance of the mavui. And it says that this person, if somebody lives in this mavui, in one of the homes or the chatzeris of the mavui, then we can force him to join in the expenses that it takes to put up a mavui, put up a lechi or a koira. Koifenai, so we force him lasis lechi v'koira l'mavui. So you see that since in the absence of a lechi or koira, it would restrict everybody from carrying in the mavui, therefore we can take his share, his contribution in paying for the lechi or koira, we can take it from him by force, which is exactly what we said, how we explained Shmuel. And says the Gemara, no. You cannot bring proof from the fact that you can force somebody to join in and pay for the lechi and kaira. You cannot prove from there that whenever you've got a neighbor who his not willingness to join the Eruv or the Shitufei Mavois would restrict the neighbors, that you can do it by force. Why? Shani Hasam de Lecha Mechitzais. It could be in the case of the Lechi Vekaira. Over there, the reason we're forcing him is not because he's restricting us from carrying in the Mavui. It could be, as far as that price is concerned, it would not be a good enough reason. And therefore, it's not proof to Shmuel, and it could be, as far as that price is concerned, you can never take an Eruv or Shitufei Mavois by force, even if it would restrict them. The reason in the Braisa says that you can force somebody to contribute in Lechi and Kaira is because in the absence of Lechi and Kaira, the Mavui is Maguna, it's a degradation, there's something lacking in the Mavui itself, and it's not easy to protect the Mavui, and therefore, just as normal neighbors, we can expect you to join in the expenses that we all need in order that this Mavui should stay protected. And the Mefarshim discuss why a Lechi and Kaira should help protect a Mavui. But either way, the Gemara says it could be that it's nothing to do with the carrying. Lishnach Rena Or, Mitzad Shani, and here the Vilna Gaon and others say actually what it's supposed to say is Mi Beis Din Shani, that it could be that over there it's only because there was an instruction by Beis Din that he has to join. If Beis Din gave an explicit instruction that he has to pay for the Lechi or the Kaira in order to allow the other neighbors to carry, then indeed we can take it by force. But in another case with a regular Eruvei Chatzeiros, a Shitufei Mavois, when you do not have an instruction from Beis Din, then it could be, as far as this price is concerned, you would not be able to take it by force, and therefore this price is not proof to Shmuel. Continues the Gemara, a related but not really, it's another issue. Itmar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Omar, Oisin Lechi Asherah. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi said that you can use even something which is an Asherah, it's been used for Avodah Zarah, a tree of Avodah Zarah, and it's positioned as a Lechi, that even though it's Avodah Zarah, it's a kosher lechi. Rav Shimon ben Lakish Omar, Rav Shimon ben Lakish says, Oisin Kairo Ashero. This Avodah Zarah, that one has to burn it, one can even use it for a Kairo. Because if you put this Avodah Zarah beam over the top of the entrance of the Eruv, it's valid. And the Gemara says, Mando Omar Kairo. The opinion that says, and this is the opinion of Rish Lakish, who says that one can use Ashera even for a Kaira, and the difference in Kaira and Lechi is that Lechi doesn't need to have any particular width or any particular thickness. A Kaira, however, has to be a tefach wide in order to hold a brick of a tefach and a half. We've learned that previously. And the issue that we have with something that is Avodah Zarah and halachically speaking has to be burnt, is that we see it, since it's slated to be burnt, we view it as if it's been burnt. If it's been burnt, it's completely, so to speak, ashes, it's crushed. And anything that needs a shiur, that needs a certain measurement, then if it's supposed to be burnt, it's as if it hasn't got that measurement. So the Gemara says, if for whatever reason Rish Lakish said you can use this tree for a kaira, where the kaira itself needs to have a minimum measurement, and nonetheless you can use the kaira, then kol shekein lechi, even more so a lechi that doesn't need to have a minimum thickness or width, that you can use asherah. Uman do omar lechi, but the opinion who says, which was of Chiya Bar Ashi, who says that you can use asherah for lechi, that it may be only lechi that doesn't need to have a specific width or thickness. Aval kaira loy, but he may hold that in the case of the kaira, you cannot use an asherah, because kitusei michtas shiurei, because the minimum required measurement that the kaira needs of a tefach is as if it's kitusei michtas, as if it's completely crushed, and therefore you don't have that minimum. Virtually speaking, we see it as if it doesn't have the thickness of a tefach, and therefore it could be that one cannot use asherah for kaira. And here Tosfos asks already that lechi also needs a shiur, it needs to be 10 tefachim high, and if you say kitusei mechtas shiura, then there should be a problem with that as well, and Tosfos discusses that. And the Mefarshim here discuss why there should be a difference between kaira and lechi regarding kitusei mechtas shiurei. Continues the Gemara, continues the next Mishnah. We discussed in the previous Mishnah that in order to make a Shitufei Mavois, then one has to, and the same would apply with Eruvei Chatzeres, one has to take some food that's representing all the neighbors and put them into a single place, and then everybody's united. That's how the Eruv works. Nismai ta'oichel, what happens if either the food of the Eruvei Chatzeres or the food of the Shitufei Mevois, at some point the food became less, there was a minimum amount of food you needed, which we'll soon see what it is, but there was a minimum amount of food, and then at some point their food became less than the minimum required shiur, then the Tanakhama here hold that even though initially it had the right shiur, if it went down and is now too little, you have to be moisif. Then moisif, you have to add on. Either add on, like we saw in the previous Mishnah, either you're adding on some food belonging to any one person, or he's taking food from all the neighbors. Moisif umazaka, in the event that he's using his own food, he has to do zechia. He has to get somebody to acquire this food on behalf of all the neighbors. Ve'ein tzorech lo idea, and in the event that he's using the food that belongs to all the neighbors, where in that case we said before, we saw in Daf Pei Omed Aleph that there's one opinion that says that tzorech lo idea. If you're using the food of the other people, you need their consent. Here, however, and the Mishnah says, here, however, ain't tzorech lo idea. You do not need to let them know, even if you're using their food. And the reason is because since they've already shown consent to join this Eruv with the first batch of food, just for whatever reason, the food now was nismait. It's now gone down, either got eaten, or got taken away. Then you don't need their permission again. We take it for granted that they agree. Continues the Mishnah, Nitvasfu aleihem. What happens if during Shabbos there's extra people, new residents came, the amount of food is according to the number of residents, and on Shabbos more residents got added into this neighborhood, into the chotz, into the mavi. Nitvasfu aleihem, moisif, you have to add on food for them. Umazake, and in the event that the food is not theirs, you have to do zechia, as we saw before. V'tzorich lo idea, since for them it's the first time they're joining the Eruv, you actually have to, in the event that you're using their food, you have to get their permission before doing that. Continues the Mishnah, Kamohu shi'uron, for shitufei muvois, how much food do you need per person? Or how much food do you need to be a valid shitufei muvois? So the Mishnah says, Bizman shein merubin, if there's a lot of people there, we'll see in the Gemara how many this is, then mozin shtei sudeis lekulam. If you have a single amount of food that's sufficient for two meals, that is enough to represent as many neighbors as you have. It doesn't matter. Mozin shtei sudeis lekulam, even if there's a lot of people. Bizman shein muotin, however, if there's just a few people there, and we'll see in the Gemara how much is a few, then kegrei grace, it's enough if there's a size of food, the size of a dried fig, per person. L'chol echot ve'echot, for each person. Omer Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, and it seems that Rabbi Yossi is arguing with the Tanakhama, because the Tanakhama said that if nismai to'eichel, moisef u'mazaki, you have to add on food. Rabbi Yossi seems to say, b'med vorim amurim, when do you need this minimum required food? B'tchilas eruv, only when you first make the eruv. Aval b'shiori eruv, but if the eruv was sufficient, was enough food, and then at some point the Eruv got less, the amount of food got less, and now you have just the leftovers of an original Eruv, kolshu, even if you have any amount left over, as long as there's the tiniest amount left over, then you do not need to add any more food. The reason that we're so lenient and you only need the right amount of food when you first make the Eruv, but if the Eruv gets less food, that you do not need to add on any more, as long as there's some remnants left of the original Eruv. The reason is, and it's only in the following case that there's a discussion in the Tanoim, and we've discussed it a little bit before. Do you need also Eruvei Chatzeres, also Shitufei Muvois? And let's assume that the discussion is, if all the neighbors join Shitufei Muvois, do all the Chatzeres independently have to make Eruvei Chatzeres between each other? Let's not discuss now whether each chotzer on its own right has to make an own Eruv chatzeris. Let's assume we're discussing here that all the chatzeris, besides from making their own individual Eruv chatzeris, they're all joining a single Eruv chatzeris. Besides for that, if they all make an Eruv chatzeris, they can all carry from one chotzer to the next. Besides for that, you make a shitufei mavois that allows them all to carry in the mavui. The question is, do you need both? So one opinion holds, you need both. And we discussed previously in the Gemara that it depends, are you using bread, or are you using other things? If you're using bread is only good for Eruv Chatzeris needs to have bread, Shitufei Mavois doesn't need bread, it depends what you used. If you didn't use bread, do we say migu, do we not say migu? For those that remember, you'll remember this from previously. But over here we're discussing, do you need also Eruv Chatzeris between all the Chatzeris and also Shitufei Mavois? Do you need them both? Or do we say one is enough? So Rabbi Yossi said that the truth is, according to the letter of the law, it would be enough that either you have Shitufei Mavois, and then automatically all the Chatzeris can carry within each other, not only from the chotzer into the mavui, but also between the different chatzeris. They do not need to have an eruv chatzeris that's merging the chatzeris. Or if you have eruv chatzeris, you don't need shitufei mavois. However, the children who are not aware of what's been going on, if they see you carrying from one chotzer to the next, then they didn't see you making an eruv chatzeris. And they may or may not know that you made a shitufei mavois, but they didn't see you making an eruv chatzeris. Therefore, the Chachomim said, make an Eruv Chatzeris, just that it shouldn't get forgotten that in the absence of a Shitufei Mavois, you need an Eruv Chatzeris to be able to carry from one Chotzer to the next. And the same the other way around, if you've made Eruv Chatzeris, then really you can all carry to and from the Mavui. However, the children will see you carrying in the Mavui, they didn't see you making a Shitufei Mavois, they'll think you can carry in the Mavui without a Shitufei Mavois. So the Chachomim said, even if you have Eruv Chatzeris between all the Chatzeris, make a Shitufei Mavois as well, just the children shouldn't get confused. So Rav Yossi says that since we're talking about you have also Eruv Chatzeris, also Shitufei Mavois, if any one of them, the food gets too little, says Rav Yossi, since you have the other one, that means if the food of the Shitufei Mavois got too little, but you have the Eruv Chatzeris. And technically speaking, Eruv Chatzeris was enough. You only needed the Shitufei Mavois just because the children shouldn't get confused. If that's the case, if the food of the Shitufei Mavois got too little, it's fine. As long as there's something left, it's okay. And the same applies with the Eruv Chatzeris. You made a Shitufei Mavois, and now the Eruv Chatzeris became the food got too little, then as long as there's something left, it's fine, because technically speaking, we didn't need it at all. And that's what Rav Yossi means here. However, in the case that they didn't make both, or in the case the Rishonim discuss it, but in the case where you haven't got this logic, then everybody would agree that even not b'tchilas eruv, then you have to replenish. You have to make sure that the eruv has enough food in it. Continues the Gemara. Says the Gemara, b'may oskinon. This that we said at the beginning of the Mishnah, that if the amount of food you had for the Eruv was Nismait, the Tanakama in the Mishnah, that you have to add on food, but you don't need to let the people know even if you're taking their food. Why? Because they've already consented when they first made the Eruv, you don't need to ask them permission again. But Mayoskinon, what are we talking about? Are we talking about that you're taking the same food that you used originally, which means the same type of food? You used apples, or in the case of Shitufei Mavois, let's say, you used apples, and now those apples, you had X amount of apples, and now those apples got eaten, got lost, got rotten, and now you want to add on new apples, taking the apples from the different neighbors, that you don't need to ask them permission. My Irinus might. Then why only if the amount of apples you had got less? And we could deduce from the Mishnah that it's only because it got lessened, but there's still some left. And only in that case, you can take food from the other neighbors and more apples from the other neighbors, you don't need to ask permission. Afilu kolo. Even if all the Eruv got consumed, nami. Because the Mishnah only said, nismai to oichel. In that case, moisif ve'ein tzarech lo idea. It seems from the Mishnah that if all the apples got destroyed, and now you're starting from scratch, you do need, it's as if you're making a new Eruv, and you need their permission. Why is that the case? Since they consented with apples in the first place, they'll consent with apples again. Why do you need permission? Even if they're all consumed, why are we only talking about nismayit? Elo, it must be b'shnei minim. The Mishnah is talking about that the first Eruv was made with apples, and now the most of the apples, they got rotten, or they got lost, and now you want to add on, and you're using oranges this time. Shnei minim. If so, afilu nismayit. Nami loy. Then even if it was nismayit, and there are still some apples left, the very fact that you're not taking apples, you're taking oranges, why should you not have to get permission for that? The fact that they originally consented to use apples doesn't mean we cannot take it for granted that they would allow us to use oranges. And the Mishnah says that nismayit, you can, and we assume it's talking about two minim, two species, two types, that ain't tzorich leidia. Why ain't tzorich leidia if it's two types? Tanya, because we saw explicitly in a brisa, kolo ha'oichel, if all the food of the eruv got eaten, mimin echod, of assuming that you now want to make this eruv again, you want to reinstate this eruv with the same species as you did at the beginning, all the apples have gone, now you want to take more apples, ain't tzarech leidia, you do not need to ask permission, and this is even if kolo. Even if there's nothing left of the original apples, since you're using apples again, you do not need permission. Mi beis minim. However, if you're using the second time round, you're using oranges, not apples, tzorich lo idea, then you have to get permission, not only if it was completely consumed, even if there are some apples left, you need permission to use oranges. So you see clearly that either way, why is that when the Mishnah says nismayit, which means only if there's remnants of the old Eruv left, then making another Eruv, or making, replenishing, adding on some fruits to make the food enough, you do not need permission. When is that true? Either you're using two species and then you always need permission, or you're using the same species and then you never need permission, even if the first Eruv was completely consumed. So the Gemara says there's two answers. Ibois eimim mimin echod. I can explain our Mishnah to you that we're talking about the same type. You had apples the first time round, and you're adding on now the food. You're adding on apples again. Ibois eimim b'shnei minin. Or I can explain the Mishnah to you that you're now adding oranges. Ibois eimim mimin echod. How do I understand the Mishnah that you're using apples? We had a question. If you had apples the first time round and you're using apples again, then why only nismayit? Even kolo, even if it was completely consumed and you need to start from scratch, you can take apples again. You've had permission. Why does the Mishnah only speak about nismayit? Says the Gemara, my nismayit, you know what the word nismayit means? It means nismatmeit, which means it was completely consumed. It doesn't mean it became lessened, but you still have some apples left. It means that there were no apples left at all. It could be the Mishnah is talking about Mishnei Minin, that you started with apples and now you're taking oranges. And then we asked a question, we're taking it for granted that if you're using oranges this time round, even if it was nismayit, why ain't tzorich leidia? Why do you not need permission? You should need permission even if there's still some apples left. And then we brought proof from this brisa, that the brisa said that mishnei minim afilu nismayit, and we understood in the Mishnah, sorry, the brisa said mishnei minim tzorich leidia, and we assumed that the brisa means that if you're using first used apples and now using oranges, then you need to get permission, is even if there were some apples left. That's what we assumed. Not only if all the apples were consumed, says the Gemara, no. The truth is that even though you're using oranges and the first time you used apples, you do not need permission, providing that the first part of the apples are still there. And when the brisa said that bebeis minin, tzorich lohidia, that's only if all the apples were consumed. And when our Mishnah says that nismayit oichel, etc., moisif, we're talking about, according to this answer in the Gemara, that he's adding oranges. And ein tzorich lohidia, because there are still some apples left. And that's what the Gemara says, koloshani. There's a difference between if all the apples got consumed, then now you're making, so to speak, a new Eruv, and you're using a different meat type than the first time, that's when you need to get permission. But if there's some food of the first Eruv still around, and you're just adding on to it, with a different type of food, the sum of the apples are still there. You're not making a new Eruv. You're just adding on to the apples. Even though you're adding oranges, you do not need to get permission. If all the apples are gone, then you need permission. That's according to the second answer in the Gemara. Continues the Gemara. Nitoisu aleim. If you had some more people who joined, some new residents that joined the Mavui, Moisif umazake, etc., you have to add food to cater for these people, but you need to get their permission. If you're using their food, you can't take it without their permission. Says the Gemara, Omer of Shizbi, Omer of Chizda. Rav Shizbi said in the name of Rav Chizda as follows, Zoi Seimeris, can we assume that from here we can see that whenever you are making an Eruv the first time, and for these new residents, you're making an Eruv, you're now making it the first time for them, it's the first time that they are part of this Eruv, that in that case, from our Mishnah it's clear that since it's the first time, you need to get their permission. And that's Chalukin Alav Chaverov, a Rabbi Yehuda. So this Mishnah seems to be arguing with what Rabbi Yehuda said. We're going to see in the Mishnah on Daf Pe'al from the base. The Mishnah there says, Ditnan, Omer Rabbi Yehuda. What does it say in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that, Ein ma'arvin la'odom elamidaitoi. Whenever you make somebody joins an Eruv, you have to have his permission, you have to have his knowledge to join an Eruv. Rabbi Yehuda there said, Bamer devorim amurim. When is it true that you need to have the person's knowledge to join him into the Eruv? Only by Eruv Tchumin. And we'll soon see why, but only by regarding Eruv Tchumin. Aval, by Eruv Chatzeros, in the case of Eruv Chatzeros and Shitufei Mevois, Ma'orovin Ledaitoi V'Sheloi Ledaitoi. You can join him into the Eruv even without his knowledge, based on the rule that we've learned previously, Zochin La'odom Shloi Befonov, since it's a Zechia. And just so we should understand this, when it comes to Tchumin, and a person is acquiring residence 2,000 amis out of the city in one specific direction, then it's not so clear that it's a benefit to him. Because all the while that he's based in the city, he can go 2,000 amis on any side of the city. If you make an Eruv of 2,000 amis out of on the east of the city, then from that point on, he can't leave the city on the west at all, even a single amma, because his place of residence is 2,000 amis away from on the east of the city. And therefore, in order to make an Eruv Tchumin on somebody else's behalf, you may be hurting him, you may be harming him, it may be to his disadvantage. You can't do it without his knowledge. However, Eruv Chatzeros and Shituf Mevois, where you're never harming him to join him into the Eruv, you can do it even without his knowledge. That's what Rabbi Yehuda said. And just learning the Mishnah on Daf Pei Aleph from the base, it's not clear whether the Tanakama and the Mishnah are actually arguing with Rav Yehuda. The Tanakama just said, Ein ma'arvin la'odom elo midaitoi. Whenever you join somebody into an Eruv, he has to have knowledge. And then Rav Yehuda says, Bamed v'amurim, that's only true with Eruv Tchumin, not with Shitufim Voice and Eruv Chatzeris. However, in our Mishnah, it seems clear that the Tanakama are arguing with Rabbi Yehuda, and they're saying that even in the case of Shitufei Mevois, which is the content of our Mishnah here on Daf Pei Amud Beis, even there you need Tzorich Lo'idya. As we saw, if there's new residents joining the Eruv, it's the first time they're part of this Eruv, Tzorich Lo'idya, you have to get their permission, you have to have their knowledge. So Rav Chisda was saying, Zoi Semeres, can we bring proof from here that Chalukin Olav Chaveir of Rabbi Yehuda, that the Tanakam of Rabbi Yehuda actually arguing with Rabbi Yehuda? And they hold that by Eruvei Chatzeres and Shitufei Mevois, you need their knowledge, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Ditnan, we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Pe'alaf Amud Beis, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Bameh Devorim Amurim, when do you need their knowledge? Be Eruvei Tchumin. Only by an Eruv Tchumin, where there's a doubt as to whether you're hurting him, harming him, or it's to his advantage, and therefore you cannot take it for granted that it's valid, you have to have his knowledge first. Aval be'eruv chatzeris, in the case of Eruv chatzeris, where you're clearly not harming him by joining him into the Eruv, ma'orvin bein ledas or bein shalei ledas, that's what Rav Yehuda holds, that you can join him into the Eruv even without his knowledge. That's what Rav Shizbi said in the name of Rav Chisda. Says the Gemara, Pshitu de Chalukim. What's the Chiddush? It's clear now, Mishnah, that you need knowledge when joining an Eruv Chatzeros, and it's clear that Rav Yehuda says you do not need knowledge when joining somebody into Eruv Chatzeros. What are you, Rav Chisda, coming to teach us? Of course there's a Machlekes. Read the Mishnahs, you'll see the Machlekes. Says the Gemara, no. Ma'od Teima, I may have thought, Hanem mili b'chotzer shebein shnei muvois. I may have thought that when do the Tanakhama, when does our Mishnah say that you need to have his knowledge? That's when a chotzer is between two muvois, and you have, and joining him to one mavui means that he cannot carry into the other mavui. That means either way, so it's the same concept as the Eruv Tchumin, that joining him in is restricting him elsewhere. Maybe in that case, the Chachomim say, Tzorich lo hidia. And then Rav Yehuda would agree with that. And when Rav Yehuda says that by Eruv Tzeirus or Shituf HaMavois, you don't need Das, it's only when there's no risk at all that you're harming him. So there was a good chance, if you just read the Mishnayos, our Mishnah is talking about a case where joining him onto this Eruv, you're restricting him elsewhere, and therefore you need his knowledge. Aval chotzer shel mavui echod, but a chotzer belonging just to one mavui, he's got no two options. You're certainly not harming him or restricting him by joining into the Eruv. Maybe we may have thought, eimeloi, maybe in that case, everybody agrees, the Chachomim will agree to what Rav Yehuda said, you don't need his knowledge. Kumash malon, that's what Rav Chisda was coming to tell us. That our Mishnah, Rav Chisda took it for granted and knew that our Mishnah is talking about even a chotzer in a single mavui, and nonetheless the Tanakhama said that you need his knowledge, so it's clear from here, says Rav Chisda, that the Tanakhama are actually arguing with Rav Yehuda. Continues the Gemara, Kama hu shi'uroi. V'chulei, we saw in the Mishnah, that if there's many people, merubin, then it's enough if between all of them you have mozin, shtei sudois, there's enough food for two meals. However, if there's mu'atin, just a few people, then you need enough, a grogros, a dried fig, that size of food for each person. Asks the Gemara, kamahu merubin, how many people is called many? Says the Gemara, Omer v'yodom ha-shmuel, shmoy no'esrei b'ne'odom. If you have exactly 18 people, that's called a lot of people. We'll soon understand that. Asks the Gemara, Shmoyna Esrei Vesuloi. That means 18 is called many, 19 is not called many. That doesn't make sense. What do you mean, 18? Says the Gemara, no, I didn't say only 18. Eima Mishmoyna Esrei Ve'elich. 18 and more, if there's more than anything more, 18 people or more, that's called Merubin. Or Mai Shmoyna Esrei Denokat. What made you choose 18? 18 people is called many, 17 is not called many. Omer Rabbi Yitzchok Breid Rav Yehuda, Ledidi Mefarshali Minei De'Abba. I'll explain to you what my father, Rabbi Yehuda, meant. Kol She'ilu Mechalkoi Lemozoin Shtei Sudois Beineem Ve'ein Magath Gregris Lekol Echod Ve'Echod Hein Hein Merubin V'Sagi Bemozoin Shtei Sudois V'Iloi Hein Hein Mu'otin Ninu. Well, he says as follows. Before we understand the words inside, he said as follows. He says that you need the lesser amount of food between one of two options. Either that every person has a size of a dried fig. So all the while that if you have to choose between splitting up mozoin shtei sudois between all the participants, between all the people in the Eruvia, in the Mavui, if you'd split up the mozoin shtei sudois between all of them, would they get more than a gregris or less than a gregris? So if you have four people here, and you take mozoin shtei sudois, you split it into four, each one is going to get much more than a gregris. If so, you don't need so much food. It's enough to have just a gregris. If, however, you have 100 people, and you take mozoin shtei sudois, you split it up in 100, every person's going to get a tiny amount of the size of a gregris. Oh, so if the lesser amount is splitting up mozoin shtei sudois with all the people, that's enough. That means you can the amount of food you need is the lesser amount of either a gregris per person or mozoin shtei sudois split up between however many people are there, whichever is less. And the Gemara says that v'agav urchei kamash malon, the reason that the term was used, 18 people, is in, that means the truth is that the real truth is that mu'otin and merubin is dependent on the formula we just said now. The lesser of the two options, either a gregris or your ratio of the mozoin shtei sudois divided by all the people there. The lesser of the two. But Shmuel also wanted to teach us how much is mozoin shtei sudois. Agav Urche, by the way, he was telling us, Komash Malon, the Shtei Sudois having Shmoine Esrei Gregris. He was, by the way, teaching us, do you know how much Shtei Sudois is? The Shtei Sudois is that little bit more than 17 Gregris, which means if you have 17 people, then 17 Gregors is less than Mosin Shtei Sudois. That's called Mu'otin, and it's enough to have a Gregors per person. If you have 18 people, then 18 Gregors is more than Mosin Shtei Sudois. If so, from that point on, Mosin Shtei Sudois is enough. So, by the way, Shmuel was teaching us that Mosin Shtei Sudois is somewhere between 17 and 18 Gregors. So let's just read that again inside. Ledidi mefarshali mineder de Abba. He's explaining Rav Yehuda. Kol she'ilu mechalkei lemozen shtei sudos b'neim. In the event that they would split up the amount of food of two meals between all the participants in the eruv, ve'ein magas gregros lekol echod ve'echod, and the amount they would each get would be less than a dried fig. Hein merubin. That's called merubin. It's called many. V'sagi b'mozen shtei sudos. We allow you to rely on the smaller shear, which means between all of you, two sudais. V'iloi, however, if you were to split up this mozen shtei sudais between all the neighbors here, all the people in the Eruv, and each one would get more than a gregros, then mu'otin ninu, then it's called mu'otin, and it's enough to have just a gregros per person. By the way, Shmuel was teaching us, the shtei sudais haven shmonesu gregros, and the way we explained it, what the Gemara says, it's not accurate that two sudeis is 18 gregros. It's actually less than 18 gregros. And the Rashba and the Ritva, they change the nusach in the Gemara, but the pshat in the Gemara is the way we've explained it. That's the Pashtus. And the Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.